Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, Fletcher Cox had some comments about the 2017 Super Bowl team versus this 2022 NFC champion. Who was the better overall Eagles franchise? Going to get into that. Also, with Super Bowl 57 next week happening between the Eagles and the Chiefs, if the game is close like Super Bowl 52 and one guy has to make a play on offense and defense, who are those guys to step up? All that and more on this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. We thank you so much. I'm Louis DiBiase. This is a Friday edition of the show. Super Bowl 57, just a week away, a week and a day, but pretty much feels like a week. It's coming up. Media day next Monday. Eagles Chiefs set for next Sunday in Arizona. Guys, today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. Gino's off for the day, but he will be back for Monday's show. We've got a show for you Monday through Friday as we really ramp up. You know, we've been doing five shows this week. Just got back from Mobile, Alabama. Was covering the Senior Bowl, but we did five shows already on the NFC title win last Sunday against the 49ers and on this matchup against Kansas City in the big game. But next week, we are really going to rev up the coverage. We have a really special guest on the show. On Monday, we're going to do the crossover podcast on Thursday with Locked On Chiefs. We're going to really dive into this matchup and all of the best storylines. I've been saving some of the juiciest topics for next week. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on all podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. And hit us up on Twitter at DiBiase LOE and at Locked On Birds and at GC24_football. It's really cool. Locked On Eagles and the Locked On Podcast Network, we've been getting advertisements now too. In Times Square, shout out to Amazon Music for posting our shows down on their giant digital board, getting ready for Super Bowl week. The vibe is immaculate right now, and I hope we can cap that off with a Lombardi trophy next Sunday. And I started to think, you know, I've been thinking about this game all week. It was really hard to be in Mobile, honestly. And, you know, I was definitely watching prospects. The Eagles have a top 10 pick next year on top of their own first round draft pick. So, you know, they want to extend this window longer than they had in 2017. They want to continue to build on this young nucleus, and they have a lot of draft picks. So it's going to definitely be a focus in a few weeks, but you want to capitalize on this historic season they've had and have this 2022 team be a champion so we can talk about if it's not only the best team in Eagles history, but if it's one of the greatest teams in NFL history. So it's been, you know, on my mind all week, even at the Senior Bowl, watching prospects, but all I can think about is Eagles Chiefs. And I started to compare it. Of course, we're going to get into in a little bit the 2017 team versus 2022. Couldn't help but think about the last time we were going through this process, how I was feeling at that time versus now that we've gone through it a few times and twice in the last six seasons. You know, what's different? And I thought about that game and remembered how close it was. You know, I've also been kind of comparing my nerves. And I remember at the end of the game, just, you know, until the clock hit zero, I truly believed that Tom Brady was going to pull off that win. As nuclear as Nick Foles had went that game and how good the running game was in the offensive line and Alshon and Ertz and Aguilar, I truly believed that Brady was going to win it until, you know, whoever it was, Jalen Mills, that hit down that Hail Mary and, you know, Danny Amendola couldn't pull off the crazy catch to win the game. I didn't believe they could do it, but they certainly did it. And it was such a nerve-wracking experience to get the first ring against the greatest dynasty in all of football and the greatest player in all of sports ever in Tom Brady. And I remember some of those plays, you know, the 4th-and-1, right, on their own, 42-yard line. The Eagles are down 33-32. They go for it on 4th-and-1. They have to get that conversion or else the Patriots have the ball in your territory. And there was no stopping Tom Brady at that point. If you go down by multiple scores, the game is over, right? And Nick Foles finds Zach Ertz at the last second, and he reaches the football over the sticks to get the first down. You think about the game-winning touchdown to Zach Ertz on that drive. You think about the game-winning strip sack from Brandon Graham on Tom Brady. And I thought about all those moments, and I started to think about this game. if those moments present themselves again, where this isn't one of those blowout Super Bowls, which we've kind of had outside of Eagles Patriots, there haven't been a lot of great Super Bowls since Philadelphia and New England. But let's say hypothetically you get that classic between the two MVP finalists and Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, two of the greatest offenses in the league right now. Both had the exact same amount of points per game. It was an incredible performance all year from both sides. Let's say you get a really close Patriots-Eagles like matchup where Hurts and Mahomes are just going blow for blow. Maybe it's a shootout. Maybe it's a close defensive battle. But let's just say it's close, and at the end of the game, you need a few players when the pressure is at its highest in sports. There is not a bigger stage, not a Game 7 of an NBA Finals or a Stanley Cup or, you know, in soccer, the World Cup, the World Series, you know, bottom of the ninth, you know, bases loaded, 3-2 count with two outs. I still don't think there is more pressure than on a player when the game is close late in the Super Bowl, right? So when that moment presents itself and the Eagles have to, it's a do or die kind of situation on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Who are the guys to make those plays? Who is the Zach Ertz this year? Is it Dallas Goedert? Who is the Brandon Graham? Is it Brandon Graham again? Who would you go to? Let's say the Eagles have the ball in the red zone, they're down by 2 points, or no, let's say they're down by four and they need a touchdown to beat the Chiefs. Who do you want Jalen Hurts to go to in the clutch? Let's say you need one big sack to clinch the game for the defense. Who do you want? Who do you trust getting to Patrick Mahomes and making that play? And it's a hard question because there are a lot of clutch players on this team. There are a lot of talented players on this team. Jalen Hurts could go to so many guys. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. They could trust his legs and run it. They could trust his offensive line and run it with Miles Sanders or Kenneth Gainwell. You could, on the defensive side of the ball, justify that Fletcher Cox will hit home, Hassan Riddick, Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, Javon Hargrave, maybe Darius Slay makes the game-winning pass breakup. I don't know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury. I can literally, as I'm doing, mention the entire roster, but there are two players that came to mind for me specifically. Let's remove quarterback because I feel really good about Jalen Hurts in this game. I think he was built for this kind of stage. Even at 24 years old, we've been saying since 2020 how clutch he is, how calm and confident he is when the game is on the line, when all the pressure is on his shoulders. We noticed in college he did this on the biggest stages. We've noticed even in close games in the regular season that Hurts is never rattled. If the Eagles need him in a close game in the playoffs, he's going to come through. And I still believe that if that's the case in Arizona, they'll have Jalen Hurts ready to go. But outside of Jalen, on offense, honestly, the guy that I trust the most right now is Devontae Smith. Even over A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, anybody else on this team, and there's a few reasons. Number one, he's just absolutely on fire right now. I think Devontae Smith maybe was the hottest receiver outside of Justin Jefferson. You could say, you know, he was definitely top five when it comes to the second half of the season, his production. I thought he was the go-to guy even over A.J. Brown when it comes to volume and when it comes to the quarterback, both Hurts and Minshew consistently looking his way. I thought Devontae was maybe the best receiver in football the second half. You could make that argument with the best of the best. And so he's just, and even look at that play against the 49ers. I know it wasn't a catch, but the first drive, he makes this incredible extension with those long, skinny Kevin Durant-like arms to pull in this insane one-handed grab. Of course, he couldn't survive the ground, but Devontae was ready. You know, he was ready telling everybody, get to the line instantly with that signal. Devontae is like the Jalen Hurts of receivers where A.J. Brown can, not to say he's mentally small or he's weak in big moments, but, you know, even in the Giants game, he got a little upset that he wasn't getting the football. That doesn't affect his performance, but I feel like Devontae is kind of wired the same way as Jalen, where the moment's never too big. Nothing really phases him. He never gets too high. He never gets too low. And I think in a clutch situation where you've just got to make a play over the other team that's the best in football as well as you are, I think Devontae Smith is one of those guys that can pull through. And we know, I mean, look at that catch against the 49ers. We've seen so many incredible contested catches that he can make some really difficult plays. And if they just got to throw it up to a guy, I really do trust Devontae Smith. And so did Alabama. Look at that 2019 national championship game where Tua came in for Jalen Hurts, who caught the game-winning touchdown. wasn't it a freshman, Devontae Smith? I don't know if he was a freshman or a sophomore, but he was an underclassman in a national championship against an SEC rival, and he caught the game-winning touchdown. I think Devontae Smith might be that guy on offense. And on defense, I think it's easy. Brandon Graham is super clutch. Obviously, he made the biggest play in Eagles history, but I think it's Hassan Riddick. I mean, Hassan Riddick right now is the hottest player maybe in all of football. 3.5 sacks in the playoffs. How many times has he stepped up in the clutch this year? In the postseason, 2 sacks in the NFC title. But even earlier in the year, the game-sealing strip sack against Trevor Lawrence and some big plays late in the game against Houston and Green Bay and against Dallas. You know, Hassan Riddick has been absolutely incredible all year. If they got to make one play, if one person needs to find a way to get to Patrick Mahomes, chase him down, and make the game-winning sack, I think it's Hassan Riddick. Devontae Smith and Riddick would be my choices, but guess what? I'm just as confident in A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Josh Sweat, this entire team I really do think was built for this moment. Not just because the veterans have been through it before, but the young players have too at the college level, and they have that maturity that even if they haven't gone through these kind of experiences, and nobody's fully prepared for a Super Bowl high-pressure moment until you're really in it, but I trust these guys that even haven't been in it because of the maturity, because of their upbringing in college, and where just how they're wired. I think this team is ready for that moment, and I cannot wait to see it put to the test on Sunday next week for Super Bowl 57 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Guys, coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles, Fletcher Cox talked about the 2017 Super Bowl team versus this 2022 roster. Who would win in a game if they played each other? We'll get into that coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs makes you find the right candidates for your job faster. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023, it all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goal. It helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. LinkedIn Jobs goes beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. They make it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Guys, make sure you're also checking out the Locked On NFL podcast. We've got some incredible Super Bowl coverage for you all throughout this next coming week. The Locked On Sports Today podcast, the entire channel, Locked On Eagles, Locked On Chiefs, got some great coverage for you on the daily. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your get Locked On Eagles on all podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. On this Friday edition of the show coming up next, I wanted to get into the comments made from Fletcher Cox. And there's been a lot of beat reporters that have asked these questions over the year because, you know, comparing the Eagles in 2022 to the 2017 Super Bowl champion team, because by far, this is the best team they've had since. It's not even close compared to 2018, 2019, 2021. It's a historic team that's back in the Super Bowl. And some people, a lot of people, including myself and Gino, we think if this team wins a ring, they're the greatest team in Eagles history. I already think they're the most talented team in franchise history. Brandon Graham says the exact same thing. A beat reporter asked Fletcher Cox today before they flew out to Arizona if there was a scenario where the 2017 Eagles could play the 2022 Eagles, who would win that matchup? Fletcher actually kind of surprised me. He mentioned that the 2017 team would win the game. And he was comparing both teams, how some of the similarities are they're very tight-knit, you know, locker room community, right? They're a very close bunch of, he was talking about how talented both teams were, but also just how close they are. It's just a great group of guys coaching staff, front office, players, everyone has one common goal. Everybody's very similar. They all get along. You know, it's just, it's a perfect combination of, you know, coworkers basically. And he was talking about how, you know, crucial that is for the success of both teams. But he also mentioned they're different. 2017, that was the second oldest roster in all of football. He talked about how it was a lot of guys that had been there before. It was a lot of veterans. Whereas in 2023 now, 2022, 2023, it's a lot more younger players. So the vibe's a little bit different. The talent, the style of player, he also mentioned, was very different. So both, he was kind of saying both were elite in their own way, not trying to take away the credit for one team by boosting up the other. But he did say after that, another reporter asked, okay, who would win though in a game? He said 2017. I think most people did not agree with him. I certainly don't agree. And again, that 2017 team, one of the best teams ever as well. I mean, a one seed that beat the greatest quarterback of all time when that greatest quarterback of all time had over 500 yards passing in the game, beating also the greatest head coach maybe in NFL history by putting up 41 points on his defense that always has success pretty much every year. It's an incredible team, and they were loaded on both sides of the ball, on the offensive line, the defensive line, weapons. You had a Super Bowl MVP at quarterback. Three running backs that almost combined for 300 yards. But I will say this team is still a lot more talented. And it's not just more talented, because there's a lot of talented teams in NFL history that have done nothing. But this team is as ready for the big moment as the 2017 unit was. And I just think they're more dynamic, and they're not winning in spite of anything. Unlike 2017, where, you know, you weren't winning in spite of Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby, but you certainly weren't winning because of them, like you're winning with James Bradbury and Darius Slay. I would say you look at both teams. The Eagles in 2022 have the advantage in a lot of key areas. Like I mentioned, the secondary, James Bradbury, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox. That's a better trio than Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, and Patrick Robinson. I would also say the linebacking play, now it's probably pretty even, right? Kazir White and TJ Edwards versus Nigel Bradham and Michael Kendricks. The Eagles' front four in 2017 was pretty incredible, but I think Hassan Riddick is better than anybody that defensive line had. Fletcher Cox in 2017 was better than the version now, but Javon Hargrave is way better than Timmy Jernigan. And then you look at Brandon Graham's better then than he is now, but Josh Sweat right now is as good as Brandon Graham was back then. And then, of course, you had Vinny Curry to the mix, but this team also has Ndamukong Suh, Linval, Judith, Milton Williams, Jordan Davis. They are way deeper and I think more talented, even where compared to, you know, the same position that 2017 had a strength, the defensive line, the offensive line. It's crazy to say that the Eagles, there can be a better offensive line than one with Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, and Jason Kelsey, but this offensive line is better than that one. And that one completely dominated the Patriots. I think the offensive line was the best unit in Super Bowl 52, maybe outside of Nick Foles, but I think this Eagles offensive line is the greatest they've ever seen, even over ones too when they had Jason Peters. You look at that team had, Lane on the right side. They had Kelsey, Lane, and Brooks, but this team still has Lane and Kelsey, and Isaac Seumalo has been almost as good as Brandon Brooks. And on the left side, Big V and Wiz versus Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata, it's not even close. Jordan Mailata has the highest PFF grade of any lineman so far throughout the NFL playoffs. So I think the Eagles, even in 2022, have the advantage at the positions of strength for both teams. And then you add, you know, Alshon Jeffrey was really good, Nelson Agholor as well, and Zach Ertz. That was an incredible trio, but I'd rather have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. And then at running back, Jay Ajayi was great. So was LeGarrette Blount. Corey Clement maybe should have been Super Bowl MVP if it wasn't Nick Foles. But I would take right now the way Miles Sanders is playing, he's better than all three of those guys. And Kenneth Gainwell has led the Eagles in rushing throughout the playoffs. He has kind of been their Corey Clement this year. And Boston Scott has really contributed as well. So I would take the running backs right now. I'd take Jalen Hurts over Nick Foles. I would take the secondary. I don't think there's anything that 2017 does better that the 2022 team doesn't. I don't know. I'm trying to just go through it real quick again before we hit a break. I don't think there's a single thing that I would take. Maybe the one thing that the 2017 team could take advantage of is the 2022 run defense. So with how good that offensive line was running the ball, run blocking, with how hot Jay Ajayi was at the time and Blunt and Clement, they would be able to run the football for sure. But I think the 2022 team would win. I know 2017, they have the advantage as well with veterans. But like I said, this version of the team, even with the younger players, you wouldn't know that Jalen Hurts is in only year three at 24. You wouldn't know Devontae Smith is in year two. You wouldn't know that, you know, Jordan Davis is a rookie and Miles Sanders has never been at this level of postseason play before. You know what I mean? And you wouldn't know that Nick Sirianni, well, maybe you would for certain reasons, but the way he prepares and has his team ready, you wouldn't know that Nick Sirianni is one of the youngest head coaches in football. They are as mature and as ready to go. So I disagree with Fletch. I know that was your first title team ever, and he was in his prime on that roster, but I would take 2022, and that's why I'm feeling very confident that they can take down Patrick Mahomes. How cool, by the way, would that be? Talk about storylines. If the first two rings ever are against Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, and not to mention you beat the two number one defenses in both NFC titles. So it would be an incredible story. Let's see if they can do it next Sunday. Coming up next, guys, going to wrap up the show. Want to hit on Jeff Stoutland, some of the consistency of this offensive line and just how important they're going to be in this game in Arizona. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's show, it's presented by TurboTax. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you can do not taxes. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste not taxes. Sing not taxes a lullaby. Hope that not taxes sleeps through the night. Grab a saddle and ride not taxes into the sunset. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish. Enduring your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. I shouldn't say enduring, I should say ensuring, because you don't have to endure them. Feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax, full service products only. Video meeting while expert does your taxes required. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. I'm Louis DiBiase. We're wrapping up this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. We had five shows for you this week on Super Bowl 57, but we've got five more shows for you on Super Bowl 57 next week. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on all podcast platforms. Got some news for you to share before we wrap up the podcast. According to, I believe it was Field Yates. Let me just double check here. It was from Jeff Clark, actually, of NBC. Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles offensive line coach, who's been through pretty much every era of Eagles football, right? Chip Kelly and Doug Peterson and now Nick Sirianni. To me, the best offensive line mind we've had since Howard Mudd, and maybe even better than that with the success and the track record he has. According to John Clark and Field Yates of ESPN, I just want to confirm that that's right, that it was Field. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN said that Jeff Stoutland, who is the line coach and the run game coordinator, had actually received some interest from multiple teams for offensive coordinator positions this cycle of hires for the offseason of other teams. Such a massive, massive get to make sure that Jeff Stoutland sticks around, right? Because, of course, this Eagles team has had some incredible offensive line talent. I mean, look at the team they have right now, right? Lane Johnson's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think so is Jason Kelsey. Isaac Seumalo's been one of the most underrated veteran guards in the league for a long time now. And then you got a second round stud in Landon Dickerson, who is an all pro in his second year. And then Jordan Mailata is a 6'8 freak that's, you know, the best offensive lineman in the playoffs so far. So the Eagles have been blessed and lucky to have, lucky to a degree, but also just, you know, we've been spoiled to have the offensive line talent that we've had in Philadelphia. But at the same time, Jeff Stoutland has been the thing, the engine that makes this car go, because even go back to Super Bowl 52, that offensive line was incredible. But look at the job he did on a fifth round talent in Halepulivahti-Vaitai and how good Big V was and how many different positions he could play in. You know, Steven Wisniewski wasn't really a top tier talent, and look how good that he was down the stretch in 2017 for Philadelphia. And even though I mentioned Mailata's talent, this guy was a rugby player that had never played football before coming to Philly, and now he looks elite under Jeff Stoutland. I mean, he's been doing this year after year after year. So the fact that you could keep this guy, honestly, I'm okay if he's paid as much as coordinators and maybe even head coaches at this point, because he is that valuable to the Eagles. You could honestly make the argument that he is one of, if not the most valuable pieces of the run the Eagles have been on in 2017 up until now, to have one championship, to be knocking on the door for another one. And we've talked about this on the show, how crazy it is that the Eagles have made the playoffs now in 5 of the last 6 years, and they've been to 2 Super Bowls despite 2 completely different eras, right? They're the first team ever to make 2 Super Bowls with different head coaches and quarterbacks in a 5-year span, not just in a 5-year, yeah, in a 5-year span. And so you look at the consistency they've had winning wise, despite the inconsistency in their core, what has been the one consistent thing? It's been their trench play. It's been their offensive line. And even that's had a lot of moving parts. Jason Peters, Big V, now Jordan Mailata, Isaac Seumalo has played 2 different positions. Landon Dickerson inside a guard, the injuries to Lane Johnson, and, you know, Jason Kelce mulling retirement. You know, it's been Jeff Stoutland keeping everything together. He's been through the Chip Kelly era, the Doug Peterson era, the Nick Sirianni era. If they win a Super Bowl on Sunday next week, honestly, what we should call this dynasty is the Stoutland dynasty. He's been the most consistent thing that Philadelphia has been able to rely on. Even Howie Roseman has had his down years, like 2020, but there really hasn't been a down year for Stoutland's unit outside of 2020, when he had 14 different offensive line combinations to deal with because of injuries. But Stoutland has been maybe the most instrumental piece of this 6-season run. It's been incredible, and I'm so glad that he's going to be staying in Philly. He's going to be a huge reason this team wins a title next week against Kansas City if they do pull it off. So there you have it. Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles offensive line coach and the run game coordinator, has signed a contract extension despite getting interest around the league, potentially for offensive coordinator positions. Makes sense why he'd get that interest, because he has been incredible through 3 different eras of Eagles football. And that's all you got to need to know about how good he is that 3 different coaches have wanted him. 1 brought him on, and 2 other guys. I mean, how many times have we seen a head coach get hired and they got to bring in their guys? But Doug Peterson said, no way, I'm bringing in Jeff Stoutland, I'm going to keep him here. Nick Sirianni said, no way, Jeff Stoutland, he's got to stay here. This is the one thing in Philadelphia that has always worked. It's Jeff Stoutland on the offensive line. He's not going anywhere. Thank God the Eagles, I'm sure, gave him a ton of money to stay in Philly. All right, guys, that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. You can find our podcast Monday through Friday on all platforms, on YouTube and wherever you get the show in audio form: Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. We are free and available. And we're on Twitter at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase, LOE. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your second listen is the Locked On NFL podcast. All the news across the league in under 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get Locked On Eagles. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. We'll see you next Monday for Media Night in Arizona. And we'll see you next week for Super Bowl week, Eagles Chiefs. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, Birds.